How do you measure the success of your employer brand efforts? Maybe you just notice more smiles on people's faces, so you feel like your work is justified. Or maybe you are on best places to work lists and feel awarded for your hard work. Well, we prefer the hard numbers. The Employer Brand Index helps you calculate the return on investment of your employer brand, and in turn, validates the work you are doing to your organization. Having a great employer brand means you have to offer a great candidate experience, employee experience, and even alumni experience. When you use insights from our Employer Brand Index, you can take action and move the needle. Want to know more? Just get in touch. Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, Sun-svei-san. It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's Employer Branding Agency. Ever heard of the power of storytelling? Of course you have. Do you want to know how to apply effective storytelling to employer branding and or recruitment marketing? Congrats, you've tuned into the right episode. Let the story begin. Lauren Sargent, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here and thanks for having me on your podcast.
Absolute pleasure. So please tell our listeners what you do.
Sure. I'm a co-founder and partner in a company called Stories Incorporated. So we work globally and we get great stories from employees that showcase work culture, and then we turn it into content that brand teams then use to engage candidates.
Great. So storytelling in an employer branding, driven marketing setting.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
So why stories and why now?
Yeah, so storytelling and employee stories has really grown in popularity over the last several years. And honestly, we're in a place where candidates have choices given what our economy looks like. And even in an age where there's information everywhere, candidates still don't have everything they need to know to make the best choice. And, you know, for example, they're still going 2 to 18 places before they actually apply somewhere. And also we know as employers and companies know that we're not necessarily giving candidates the information they need. So there's a Glassdoor study a few years ago that, you know, more than 2/3 of employers believe that retention rates would be higher if candidates had a clear picture of what to expect. So that was really interesting to me because we can control that. So we can actually, you know, create content that shows candidates what it's really like. And I think, you know, one of the challenges is that culture is actually pretty hard to communicate. So it's nuanced depending on where you work or what your job is. But it's also universal in terms of, you know, culture and values. So it can actually be kind of hard to communicate. And in my opinion, you know, employee stories are really the only way that puts candidates in, you know, the shoes of the employees at the workplace and gives them the experience of really working there, which is, you know, really the best way to make a decision and to know if it's a good fit for you. And so with this knowledge, you know, using stories and having candidates put themselves in the place of their employees, of the employees' stories that they're listening to, they can better select in and out before they apply, which, you know, leads to higher candidate quality, which leads to better choices and, you know, fits, and of course that leads to engagement and happy, you know, it's just a chain effect, but leads to happier, more productive employees, and also leads to companies performing better as a whole. So that's, you know, why stories and why now candidates are looking for it. We need to give it to them.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm guessing then these stories have to be really authentic, tell the right stories so that's, well, answering the questions that the candidates might have. So.
Yes, and I think, you know, I think there's a difference between a testimonial and a story, and I think that recently we've really just lumped those two together. I think they're both important, but a testimonial is like, I like working here, but a story is like, I like working here because this thing happened that the organization did for me. So I think that is missing in terms of like story heft in our recruitment marketing content.
So which one is better?
Oh, I definitely think the one that gives the real deal insight. So that gives the candidate something, because, you know, it's great to hear that someone loves working where they do, but, you know, it doesn't really tell tell the candidate that they're going to like working there. It's that person does, but doesn't necessarily give the candidate the insight that they will, that they personally would. They need the story. They need the reason why behind it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's look at the story. What does make a good story in the context of employer branding?
Yeah, I think, you know, at its most basic, like good story, I feel like, as I mentioned, a story must have a candidate picturing themselves as the storyteller in the story. They must be putting themselves, you know, in that job working for that company. So I think that makes a really good recruit marketing employer brand story. It definitely needs to be true and from the employee who experienced it. So it can't be a secondhand story. It needs to be firsthand, you know, from the employee. I also think a good story is specific. It has details. It has personal elements to it, which makes, you know, makes it relatable and again easy for the candidate to picture themselves there. And really, a good story must have it has to give candidates insight into what's like to work there. I'd mentioned kind of either universally, like this is what we mean when we say this value or this is our EVP. No matter where in the world you work, you should be having this experience or this is the experience you'll have. Or specifically, like this is what it's like to be a woman in tech or work in this particular office or be in this rotational program. So I think good stories really give candidates that view as well. But as for great stories, and it can be hard to do, but I think, you know, at Stories Inc., I think we've got a great story when I read or watch it and I know that I don't want to work there. but I know who to refer. So it has to be, you know, slightly polarizing or really unique. It really has to bring out what's unique about that organization, and it shouldn't be for everybody. And I know that we've got a great story when we're showing experiences that couldn't or don't happen other places, or at least, you know, many other places. So something that's really unique to that company.
So, just backing up a little bit, you mentioned being specific, so whether that's women in technology or similar. How do you figure out what these specific topics should be? Is that based on searches that candidates or questions that have been fielded?
That's a great question. And usually for us, it depends on what the project is. So some employer branding teams work with us to fill a particular content hole or support a campaign. So veterans, for example, like they don't have any content around what it's like to be a veteran or what their organization is doing for the veterans of their company. So for us, it depends on what the project goal is. We also do what we kind of call a culture sweep. So that's for organizations that need all the content. They don't have any employee stories. So it does depend kind of where we go in terms of interviewing. But ultimately, no matter what the project goal is, we all agree ahead of time that we're after, you know, really good stories, no matter what they are, that show what it's like to work somewhere. Hopefully that answers your question, but really does depend, you know, the stories we get depends on what the goal of the project is.
Yeah, got it. Okay. So can you give us some tactical tips to get great stories and that really give candidates that this real insight that they're looking for?
Yeah, definitely. So I think I really believe in prepping lightly the people who are telling the story. You know, the goal is authenticity and to get people comfortable to be themselves. And that can be hard if there's a camera involved and a, you know, so that can be tough. So really prepping people for the day and to talk in stories, which can be hard, is important. And the way that we do it is, you know, we send an email with the just description of the project and then 1 to 2 questions that we may ask so that the storyteller starts thinking about their experience, but nothing that's overwhelming. So for example, tell me about your favorite day of work. The moment you knew you made the right decision, you know, to take on a managerial role, or, you know, when you knew you made the best friend at work. Those are some easy questions that you can send ahead of time that really make people stop and think about their experience working, like, why am I still here? And I think that's really important because we've been in situations early in our company where we really did a real, very thorough job of prepping. And I don't think the content was better served because we had storytellers, you know, show up with pages of typed notes and they've been practicing. And, you know, it didn't translate into a comfortable experience on camera. And it wasn't a conversation. It was more of like a structured interview. So your goal is to really get as conversational as, you know, as possible. The second idea is to create a safe space for the storyteller. to really reflect on their experience. So this is a no judgment zone. You're saying things like, we can do this multiple times. We're great editors. We're just going to take the best of what you say. And you're helping guide them tell the story. In our experience, and I've told this a few times, but I think it's really important for people who are going to do this work to know. We were interviewing a woman who had really grown up in this law firm, and she was now a partner and had spent her whole career there. And she was telling us stories from the 70s of some of the adversity that she had to deal with as being a woman lawyer. And we were getting really great content, having a really good conversation. And then other partners had heard that the sessions were going well, and so a few peeked their head in as she was talking, and then it was just game over. It was just done. So creating a space where it's just you and the person, as few people as possible, is really good. I mean, we, in terms of also like the interview space, we do want candidates to see the actual workplace. So people walking behind is good, but not involving a ton of people to kind of sit in on an interview and hear it is really important. So creating that safe space and being very encouraging. So I think, another tip would be to listen for what's generic. So storytellers and your employees aren't thinking about and consuming employer branding and recruitment marketing content, like we are. I'm assuming, I know I am.
Yeah.
So they don't know. what's played out or what companies are using all over the place. So a couple years ago, I can bring my whole self to work was a really cool thing to say. And I think I still think it's a great sentiment, but you need to find out, exactly what companies are doing to encourage that. Work is fun. My team is collaborative. You definitely don't want to discount the storyteller sharing, how they feel about their workplace. But you just need to ask for that example all the time. And I'd also say being patient as a storyteller thinks that through. So, hey, work is fun. Oh, give me an example of what was your funnest day at work? What happened this week that was just an unexpected, ball of fun? And then giving the storyteller space to think it through. It's hard and it takes practice to speak in examples. And, we do this every day. And when we did it for ourselves, I even had a hard time talking in, examples. And that's me. Knowing stories are important, it's still tough to come up with examples on the fly. So allowing space for storytellers to think in the moment. Is this helpful? This is a lot.
yes, absolutely. And do you have any examples of stories that really effectively communicate concepts, difficult concepts in a way, like culture, purpose, mission, values?
Oh, definitely. I think that's something that we do really well, and we are trying every day to get better and better at that. And so, yes, I think that we have a ton of those types of stories. So, for example, we just worked with a global company that did all of this great internal and external research to come up with a tagline that's promising futures, and that really means a lot to them because they know everything behind it, but it means very little to candidates. So in that case, promising futures, what does that mean? We interviewed 40 people around the world and heard stories about traditional trajectories. Like I started as it was for a biotech company. So I started as a chemist and then I ran the lab. So definitely stories like that. But then I think what was really interesting is hearing stories from people there's one person in particular we interviewed that said, I started here as a lab technician, and I have mentored people who have risen high within the organization, but I have not. And I actually think that's great. I think I really love that I've gotten better technically, and that the company has allowed me to stay in one spot, getting better and better at my craft in terms of, telling me that traditional success is you've got to go up and manage a ton of people and manage a division and, get to the business. No, so I think that is a good promising future, a story that shows a promising future. It's what it means to the employee is a promising future. I think, in terms of purpose, a lot of my favorite content is, we definitely work with, we've worked with companies that are in healthcare, and there's tons of great stories about saving lives and the impact. I mean, that's wonderful. And that's the stuff that you want for sure. But I really love companies that have unexpected purpose and unexpected, like, changing a life applications. So we just finished a project for Electronic Arts where there was someone we spoke to who worked on a game for EA, and they were attending a player event, and a player came up to them and asked if they could speak to them privately, which he was kind of surprised, like, okay, yeah, sure. Like, what do you need? And he said, I just wanted you to know, I just transitioned out of the military. I had a very hard time, which we know in this country is a problem. You know, that's a real problem. And I had a really hard time transitioning, but playing this game really helped me transition back, because I was able to have ease in socially by playing this collaborative game, but it wasn't face to face. I made friends this way. So I just wanted you to know that the game you worked on has really changed my life. Wow. And yeah. And you wouldn't, I mean, people who work in, you know, at EA, I'm sure they're like, of course, but for someone like that isn't considering a career at EA, but wants to do life-changing stuff. I mean, that really makes you think, like, oh, I can still make pretty big differences in people's lives by working at this organization. So anyway, yeah, those are just a few of the stories that I like, but that's, you know, our goal is every day to get stories that show those, you know, those kind of lofty concepts like mission, vision, values, taglines, EVP.
Yeah. Challenging stuff. Right. So employer brand managers listening to this now, they're thinking, oh gosh, where do I start? So Lauren, give us your step-by-step guide to getting great stories that really, really attract the right candidates.
Yeah, sure. So I think there's lots of ways to approach it. But one would be, you know, first is to identify the people your organization wants more of. Mm-hmm. And so there's in each, you know, each step, I just think of there's so many like little micro steps, but to keep it simple, it's basically the people your organization wants more of. And that could be, you know, people who are living your values, or if you're working on a project where you're looking, you know, like, for example, I know Intel is looking to hire, you know, by 2020 to have total, to meet all their diversity goals by 2020. So that'd be something where if they see like a hole where we need more women leaders, to do a project around like highlighting the women leaders in their company. So that, you know, it depends on the goal, but identify the people your organization wants more of. And there's lots of ways to approach it, either culturally, women leaders, both. It could also be top performers. We've had some really interesting success there where turning it into a awards and recognitions program to get people nominate storytellers in each division. So just there's lots of ways to approach it. But step one, identify the people your organization wants more of. Step two, get those storytellers comfortable. You know, the prep, the safe space, credible, relatable storytellers are so important. So I'd say that is a really important step to getting great stories. The third would be, you know, listen and learn about their experiences at work. You know, you're listening to illustrate workplace culture and the day-to-day. So I think it's really important to have an outside perspective. And it could be you as the employer brand manager who isn't a software engineer at that company. You could be considered an outsider. But if it's something like your manager, your boss, I would tell you to get someone else to interview, because you really want someone to ask questions like they're thinking like a candidate. They don't know the environment. I think that's a really good way to get good content too. I think another step would be, you know, to pick the story medium is important, that lets the story shine, the storyteller shine, you know, and something that's going to resonate with your candidates. So for example, we worked with a company, about 50% of the work that we do is video. And we worked with a company that said, we're global and we know that video hasn't worked for us. They were also a very creative visual company. So they said, we've tested it and we know that comics actually perform best as a medium. So then we create a graphic novel. So I'd say, like, for getting the stories, of course, but then also thinking about the medium that's going to resonate with your audience is really important. And then I'd say, you know, lastly, having multiple people review the content to make sure it's a true representation of your organization. You know, the worst thing you can do is put something out that's mostly aspirational, or it's a situation that isn't going to repeat itself. It really was a rare case, because then candidates get in and say, oh, this isn't what I signed up for at all. And that's, you know, horrific and devastating in terms of turnover and all the work you're doing. So, yeah, I'd say that those are some of the step-by-step that I would think about, you know, how to get great stories.
Great. So that's how to do it and how not to do it. What's some of the pitfalls that we should stay clear of?
Anything that's inaccessible. I mean, we all want to sound smart, for sure. And you want your storytellers to be perceived in their best light, definitely. Mm. But know that the primary goal isn't, you know, to get a paragraph that sounds good. Your primary goal is to get candidates concrete examples of your culture. And so, you know, that's on you to really steer storytellers away from corporate jargon or lofty concepts, but without crushing their confidence. That's really important. Not say, oh, this isn't what we need. We need more stories. You know, just constantly asking for examples and encouragement. Like, oh, that's great. So you said something about, I guess what would be an example of something lofty? Oh, you said something about having a really collaborative team environment. Can you give me an example of that? You know, just something as simple as that, but definitely steering to stories every way. It has happened to us in the past where we have thought we've gotten we've just hit it off with a storyteller and we got great content at the end. We looked at the transcript and it's like, oh, they were really smooth and sounded great. And boy, did we like each other, but we don't have the proof of any, this is just a slick thing. And it's not because they didn't have the stories. It's because it's your job to get them and ask for examples.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Understood. And I'm thinking another pitfall is, there may not be a pitfall, but if you're investing and you're doing some videos around a small number of employees and some of these employees then leave, are you still then able to use those stories? Maybe they're expensively produced videos and so on. How do you get around that quagmire?
Yeah, we have a perspective on this, which is, you know, if you use a story and it's a good story, it doesn't matter if that person leaves. So the story I told about the EA employee, if he got a job somewhere else tomorrow, the story still stands. It's still a great story about the work he was doing that impacted, you know, the game, the work he was doing for EAE that impacted somebody else, and purpose in their work. So unless the person, I kind of say, goes down in a blaze of glory where they've, you know, they're burning documents or just something crazy, I say that the story still stands, and that you don't have to replace it. And it does feel worse. It doesn't feel good if it's, you know, an employee that's wearing a t-shirt with your company name. Like, I love it here. I'm never going to leave. And they're gone. Like, that doesn't feel real. But if someone's telling a story of something that really happened and they leave on great terms, I think you should still definitely use it. That's our perspective, at least. And in creating, you know, thousands of videos, maybe that's going too far, but definitely hearing thousands of stories, we've only had to really swap out a few because someone has left.
Got it. Okay. Right. So $1 million question. How do we measure return on investment, especially around storytelling in employer brand?
Yeah, I gotta say, I've been working for years on this, and always open to suggestions. But this is how we've approached it. we haven't cracked it yet. But how we've approached it, or what I think is the best way to prove ROI of our work in particular, is to ask candidates that are hired, you know, what is the reason that you applied, and give them a checklist. And one of which is, you know, employee stories or content on our career site, whatever it is. So you're hearing directly from candidates that the reason they applied is because of the content they viewed. And it's been tricky to implement. We have been able to attempt it a few places, but, you know, it's tricky, honestly. So, you know, one organization we worked with put it on an onboarding survey, which I was like, great, we're going to get great data. I'm so excited. And then, you know, they stopped administering the survey because a new person started. And, you know, so it's been hard to get that reliable data. I think for us, we've thought about ROI anecdotally from people we've worked with. So hiring managers and even a CEO of a company said that, oh, we hired someone that told us they only applied because of our great culture. They were not even considering government contract until they saw this video. Mm. So I think that's the most powerful stuff, but how you get that anecdotal is also tough. I think, you know, one other thing that we've tried is we've surveyed hiring managers after for a career site relaunch. We surveyed hiring managers, you know, 3 months and then 6 months after the career site relaunch, and then asked them about the quality of interviews. if they felt like it raised the bar, if the candidates were raising the bar on their current team. And we got great responses that proved that case, that using real stories did, you know, produce higher quality of applicant and higher quality of hire eventually, but it wasn't statistically, you know, it wasn't a gigantic company, and it wasn't, you know, applied in a scientific way. So that's my long answer to that, knowing that I'm still like working on it. What do you think?
I think it is
what
true.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the more, especially from a marketing perspective, the more you can attribute applications that then result in hires and perhaps even top performers, if you can attribute that back to that this person consumed that piece of content, then you're onto a winner. But technically, that's it might be some time away before every company on the planet can get to that point.
I know in our industry, I mean, one of the things that we've just been relying on, because it's a cold hard fact, is impressions and views. And I know that doesn't always translate, but that is still something that we use as ROI in terms of awareness. But I know that there's some debate about whether that's something we should actually use. What do you think about that?
you can't argue that awareness is there if many people have consumed a piece of content. However, I think what's more important is how do they feel after consuming it? Are they more or less inclined to apply for the job? Do they now know that this is the right opportunity for them or not? So I think, doing interviews with a sample of new hires or people who've been with the company for 6 months or so, it is a good way to evaluate a project like this and an ongoing commitment to storytelling. But also, we'd like to invite our listeners to come forward with your ideas, because I think as an industry we have to work collectively to crack the ROI in many, many elements of employee brand.
I agree. I also welcome all your listeners to contribute. I would love to read and hear what people are doing to crack this problem.
Yeah, we'll work on it together. Yes. Right. So speaking of listeners, so employer brand managers out there consuming this piece of content, what are your top tips to them?
Yeah, I'd say there's, you know, lots of ways to approach a project like this. And there are some that are, you know, I think super accessible. One thing I think that's been very cool has been our employer brand managers that we're working with, who are partnering with the business to split the cost. I think that's brilliant. So approaching a team, especially if you need to get some kind of buy-in and try to prove the results of this project, or at least to show what content would look like, because sometimes just for us, like we just talked about the ROI question. About 95% of our customers buy more after they see the content and they feel something, they feel like it's good representation of their content. So my point is, if you don't have, you know, buy-in organizationally to do a huge story project, you can start small. And maybe a good way to do that is to approach a business that's having a specific recruiting challenge and say, let's interview your team and let's split the cost, if possible, of doing a project like this. Or if there's no money anywhere, let's interview your team and you do text-based stories and put it out there and test it and see what happens. And then it's actually, once you have something to show, it's kind of easier to get buy-in to do more projects, or even, you know, buy-in from other teams. Oh, you did this for, you know, the specific group, and then you can show the next group, oh, here's what we did for, you know, Georgian accounting. Let's do it for, you know, the chemists, or whatever it may be. So I think that's one way. If you're struggling to get started, I think that's one way. For those that already have buy-in and budget and they're ready to go, I'd say my tip there is you can create so much content in even just one day of interviewing people. So within one day, we can interview like up to 10 people. And again, lots of ways to approach it, but you could those 10 people you pick could be, you know, two interns, two mid-level managers, two people who have had an interesting career, and maybe one's a veteran, maybe one's a woman in tech. So there's so much you can do, so much content you can create for so many different audiences just from one day of interviewing people. And the most we've ever, you know, from one day, we've been able to create like 22 substantive videos of all different sizes. Yeah. So there's so much you can accomplish. Don't just think about creating the one culture video. If you're asking for time and you've got resources, you know, make a lot. I think, and that way you can talk to your clients all year round on social, but then also talk specifically on your career site to different groups, which I think is really important to have that personalized experience. So I'd say those are like two tips I would have for the person that's just starting and the person who's established.
Great. And just a quick question on splitting the costs. So who do we split the costs with?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we've seen it with the with business. So like, for example, there was we worked with a large pharmaceutical company where one team in a specific location was having a hard time attracting X consultants. So the team, even though the organization didn't look like this, the team were like ex-McKinsey Bain consultants, and they were looking to attract more McKinsey and Bain consultants to join the corporate world. And really the focus was on work-life balance. So that business, which was process improvement within our client, the business split the cost with brand. We're working with a company now that has split it with recruiting because the recruiting team has said, we have zero awareness. And the team is a company that was bought by the larger organization. So the recruiting team is for like a little division within a bigger organization. And they've said, we're happy to contribute our budget to, you know, creating some content around what we're doing because nobody knows us in San Diego as, you know, the work that we're doing. So that comes out of the recruiting budget.
Okay, great. So yeah, essentially, try to split it away, whoever's got
whoever you can get, you know, whoever has skin in the game.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. It's going to benefit. Yeah, getting great candidates and hire, you know, high quality hires. Whoever cares about that, which is I think everybody. So that's kind of like anyone.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So if we look at employer brands out there that inspire you, who might they be and why?
Yeah, I think if I start in the, you know, here and now, like the brands that I, you know, admire now, I mean, Dell certainly, and I'm biased because I know a lot of their stories because they're a client of ours. But I really love the way that they've been a champion for work from home and flex culture, and they have done a good job. And this isn't even our work. But they've done a great job about the flexibility and sharing stories of people who've lived fuller lives because they're able to work in different locations. You know, they created content about someone that was like, you know, skiing out their backyard, and if they had to go into the, you know, on their lunch break, and they wouldn't have been able to do that. And they were passionate about skiing. They wouldn't be able to do that if they had to go into the office every day. So I really love how Dell's championed work from home and workplace flexibility. They've done a really good job in terms of their content. CVS absolutely inspires me, you know, pulling out tobacco. We interviewed employees that were actually the merchandisers to get their perspective of how their jobs changed as a result of no longer selling tobacco. So I really loved that. I was inspired by that. So merchandisers were saying, hey, we would go to trade shows and people from like, you know, health food places didn't want to talk to us because we sold big tobacco. But as soon as we made this gutsy move, they were like, oh, you're serious about, you know, health. And then we were able to offer all these new products. And so from a merchandiser's perspective, you know, I loved that. And I just really, I love how CVS is doing these things related to public health. And, you know, personally, I'm very inspired by their Beauty Mark campaign. I don't know if you know much about that, but I'm passionate about what they're doing as an organization. I can't wait to like dig in and get the employee stories of how making these bold moves impact employees', you know, perception of their jobs and also what their jobs are. So I'd say those are, you know, brands that we've worked with that I really love, and I actually love them all. So I shouldn't just cherry pick, but that's me. That's what I think. Those two come to mind. Riot Games, Motley Fool, Bridgewater. They also have unique cultures that speak to the right people. So as I mentioned, I really think that, you know, the polarizing, the unique organizations. I wouldn't want to work for Bridgewater, but I think about them all the time and the work that they're doing. So I think those brands are interesting because they're very unique and distinctive. Early in my career, I really was very much inspired by GE because it was the first time that the CEO said that, HR is the most important function, with the exception of his office. But Jack Welch said, HR is the most important function in the company. And that really had I've never worked for GE. I've never even applied to GE. But as an employer brand, there's someone I always admired and thought that I would want to work for someday, especially in HR, which is really unique because that, not everybody wants to be in HR, but even though I was, I felt like to work in HR at GE would have been awesome just because they valued it so much. And, when I first started in recruiting, I didn't even want to say I was a recruiter because the perception that I felt was like, it was not like strategic or interesting enough. Now I knew how important it was because people are everything and the people you work with are everything. But, having Jack Welch say like HR needs a seat at a table, it's the most, the most important function. I felt like, that was really big to me. And when I interviewed for a job to build a recruiting function at a company, which I did get the job. When I was interviewing, my manager, who was general counsel of the company, had Jack Welch's book displayed. And he said, he says that HR is the most important function. And I agree. And I was like, I do too. And that really, that was great because it was like, now let's go build this together. It was like, it really gave me more of a purpose in the work that I was doing to have them say that. So anyway, that's a long story. There's a lot of employer brands that inspire me, but I think the work that we're doing and employer brand leaders are doing is, you're actually influencing people who might not ever even apply to your company, and we're shaping how people view their place in the world of work and how they're going to craft their career. And, I just think that employer branding, it's really important work, and, that's kind of injecting purpose for all of us. At least, hopefully my personal story injected some purpose there.
Yes, absolutely. Great. So that was all my questions. Well, I have one final question. Where can our listeners learn more about the work that you do and Stories Inc. and where can they connect with yourself on social media, Lauren?
Oh, definitely. So storiesincorporated.com is our website, and Lauren Sargent, LauryN, on LinkedIn and on Twitter. And my Twitter handle is just Lauren Sargent, and again, LauryN. And on any of our social channels, we're on Facebook and Twitter as Stories Inc. That's where you can find us.
Great. Thank you so much, Lauren. How about that story, huh? Everything Lauren and I discussed will, of course, be in a show notes article, which you'll be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. Now, if you missed our webinar last week about the secret to boosting your employer brand with predictive hiring, which I did together with Kristen Hamilton of Karoo, your ship's come in because the replay page and the PDF link are both in the show notes of this episode. So feel free to tune into that and also stay tuned for our upcoming webinar, which is going to be all about how employee referrals influence employer brand, which I think we can all agree on. Question is more about how we do it effectively. Finally, here at Link Humans, we help companies understand, define, and measure employer brand. So that means typically a lot of research, EVP development or refresh, and of course the employer brand index. So if you're in the market for any of the above, feel free to get in touch with me direct or head on over to linkhumans.com to learn more. Right, that is it for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in, and I look forward to catching up with you next time. Hey, door!
So a few decades ago, we had Johnny Cash, Bob Hope, and Steve Jobs. Now we have no hope, no cash, and no jobs. Please don't let Kevin Bacon die.